welcome back to another episode of the Flycast.
Yeah, welcome back.
Hopefully those in the office with us will be respectful of what's happening here.
Because this is what makes the office go round, not what they do.
No flycast, no production team
is what I've always said.
Yeah, no flycast, no production team, no flycast. I don't even know if this office would exist without the flycast.
Would we even have a Call of Duty team? I don't think so.
I mean,
it's kind of like the backbone of what
Back to what we tried to do. Me and Optic J had a few chats. And we tried to drop the COD team, and it was just, it was something we tried to do. We didn't know how it would work, but I always thought that would have been a very good idea for Optic.
Why did Jay, 5 years later, catch a stray
What's
out of
funny
nowhere?
I have no idea how I was thinking about this. I think I was in, the shower or something, and, these were my thoughts.
You were just thinking of Jay?
Yeah, in the shower, thinking of Optic J.
This is the only place to think about him.
How insane is it that they were actually talking about dropping the COD team?
Were you on the podcast the other day? Is that where this is coming from?
No.
Oh, they literally talked about this on the podcast the other day.
Really?
Yeah. Are y'all doing fly-throughs right now? That's so funny.
But yeah, I don't know why I was thinking about it. But I was thinking, I think a business, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, when Infinite got control of Optic, you know, what was going through their heads? And it was like, not instantly, but very quickly, that they make it known, they were going to do it their way. And just the fact that, didn't they have a talk with you about, firing you or something?
Yeah. No, they fired Aaron.
Dude, that's fucking insane.
That's how it all started.
That is absolutely insane. What do they think that they were just like, because they have to know and Jay has to know we were all really close. And
I really don't know. I just don't know.
I don't know how I was thinking about it, but I was thinking about that for some reason.
And it was funny because I remember having a combo with Jay, and Jay was like, the thing with Jay is he was so close to getting it, but he was so scared of authority. I think that was the thing with him. Is nowadays, if say we had a CEO or somebody here that didn't really understand Optic, we would try to help them understand it. But if they asked us to do something that wasn't going to work, we would tell them it wouldn't work. That's what Roger's really good about doing that. And hey, we got to do this. This is what our next thing is going to be. We did a partnership with this. They want us to do this. And we're like, no, that's not going to work. Our fan base wouldn't like it. And it would be bad for the brand that we're going to work for. But Jay would just say yes to everything because he'd be so scared about getting fired. That's what it seemed like to me. So if the CEO of Infinite was just we have to do this, Jay would immediately choose his side, even though he had been with us for a couple of years.
It
was not always a bad idea. A couple of times he would come to me and say, I'm surprised you are so against this, because we would say something or they would try to do something with the creators or against the creators. If you guys don't upload this many videos, you guys get fined. Or if you guys don't, something like that. And he would be like, well, I'm surprised you're so against this, because, you know, at the time I would kind of complain about how the creators weren't uploading, and I'd be like, well, that's the thing is if I'm saying damn, these guys haven't uploaded in a while, so it's hurting our content. That is just me being I wish they would upload more, or I wish we would do what we used to do. This would obviously help Optic. Yeah. It's not we should punish them for not it's so close to getting it, but not getting it. You don't want to create a toxic work environment, because the only reason that Optic is where it is today is because of our chemistry as a unit.
Yeah.
You don't want to get in and fire Aaron, because now you're the bad guy immediately.
And nothing is going to go smooth for you anymore.
Nothing. And it was just like, once they did that and it was just so much turmoil, and then they were like, well, we just have to take the Optic brand and completely start over. And so let's, like, get rid of the COD team.
Dude. And I feel like they would have been almost like willing to lose us as well. Like, Optic has always been like,
that was what they wanted. It wasn't like you don't get rid of Seth and Formal and Crimsix and Damon. That was the team they were going to drop. That team. The Inner Circle. The team we just did the Inner Circle with. They were going to drop that team. It's like, you don't drop that team without it meaning something more. Like, they wanted us all gone. Because they knew if they dropped that team, Hex gone, we're gone.
It's just like, how would they think they that would work, over. Though? Like, no one's going to ever support Optic. Like, that's not how it works. You're not the fucking Chicago Bulls, and can just start.
They did not understand that. It's obvious they didn't understand it, because that happened, and then another brand still did it. Immortals still did it. We told Infinite for years it wouldn't work, and then the Immortals purchase happened. We told the Immortals guy it wouldn't work, because remember, getting
rid of the COD team?
No, like starting Optic from the ground up.
Oh yeah,
or starting taking the logo and not any of the people, and thinking it would be successful.
Yeah.
Do you remember going to the it was like an Olive Garden or something with the Immortals guy?
Did I go?
I'm pretty sure you were there. We were all there. It was like,
I don't remember.
It was all of us there except for Hex. It was really weird.
I don't remember.
Wait, Raj, were you at that? It was like the meeting with the Immortals guy, and we were at an Olive Garden or something. We went to Twin Peaks.
Was I there?
Was Nick there? Yeah.
My life's a blur.
It was like Nick. It was like us, Hypok, Zobe, Big Timer, Bose, like everybody.
Okay.
And the guy kept asking me, like, well, I'm really excited about this. I'm excited about Optic, and I can't wait to see what you guys do. Would you guys be willing to move to LA? Like, all this stuff. And I was like, well, I kept saying, well, it depends. Like, have you talked to Hector? Because, like, if Hector's down for whatever, we'll do with whatever you want to do, you know, as long as you and Hector are on the same page, and like, because this is his vision. And he kept dancing around the Hector question. He was like, well, I haven't really had a chance to talk to him and really break everything down. No, talk to me, Raj. What is it? Raj keeps... Oh yeah, Raj said he kept saying Hector and I are fine. He kept saying Hector and I are fine, but we haven't worked out the details. And so I kept saying to him, well, y'all need to work out the details before we have this meeting. And then I kept saying, does Hector know about this meeting? Was Hector invited to this? Like, he should be here. And it was so awkward, because you could tell we had just gone through all the Infinite stuff, so my patience is gone, completely gone. So I was just letting him know, like, hey, basically, if you tried to do this without us, it's not going to work. Yeah. And that's not like a cocky thing. I wasn't being arrogant. It's just like,
I mean, that's just what the name is. When you think of Optic, you think of the COD team. What's happening then with, you think of, I mean, look, the creators.
Look what's happening with FaZe.
Yeah.
It's the same shit. Like, the people that build these orgs, that's...
Still feel like, I mean, is it... Because when I look at FaZe, I still feel like I'm like, they're doing pretty good, but I'm looking at like Swag, and I'm looking at like,
you're looking at the individual creators.
I'm looking at maybe individual creators and like the persona they put on, maybe to where I'm like, they're still killing it, but really maybe internally they're completely falling apart.
The brand itself is not doing good, doing good at all.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
the creators are probably doing good. They're probably all still millionaires and crushing, but the brand itself is not in a good spot.
Yeah, I'm just surprised someone,
which is really it's really sad.
I wonder how it really went, though, if it was like,
because Optic and FaZe are like yin and yang, like,
yeah, literally
the balance. Like, we need that shit. We were the guys that are a little bit too chill and like
borderline nerd.
Family friendly, not family friendly, but PG-13 for a little while. You wouldn't catch us smoking cigarettes. We never talked about
weed.
We got drunk every once in a while, but like, then you had FaZe and they were frat boys basically.
Yeah.
like
pranks,
hitting
and
pranks and lighting shit on fire. It's like you need that. You need that.
I just don't. I think it got to a point they didn't even want to do that, or they didn't want to. They saw so much success individually. They're like, dude, I don't need to like be hang. They started realizing their clout gets girls and parties and money and drugs and a crazy life. And I'm sure they've experienced. They've all. I mean, I don't want to say all, but I'm sure some crazy shit has happened in some of their lives. Like, just with all the success they found so early, so young, it's like, how long are you really going to, like, stick together in this one house and keep pumping out content together? How often are you going to do pranks or, like,
but
skits?
You don't need to do that.
I think once you get
that
successful, you're like, I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do.
See, I don't know. Yeah, I
unless
agree
you're
with
Scump
you.
And then you just love this shit and you just want to
stick
around.
I mean, the Sidemen is the I will always use the Sidemen as the example. They're all individually, all seven of them are destroying what anyone over here is doing.
Yeah.
And they all still get together and make videos. Now, granted, they're all getting paid very well to do it. And I think at one point a lot of people got pissed because Ethan said, "Well, we're kind of more coworkers now than we are friends." And it's like, they're like, oh my God, they're not even friends anymore. Like,
I mean, I get it.
But I completely understand
I think
that.
There was a, we hang out every now and then. Like people, I know like the production team hangs out a lot.
That's because
like, it'll be, it'll turn with us. It kind of turns into like, we only see each other when we come here to do videos.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean we're not friends. It just means there's not a lot of time in the day. And we all live. I think the thing is we all live different places.
Yeah.
That's where the disconnect is. Because when the Sidemen all live together, you see them eat together.
Where did Sidemen were they all just born, but did they all just start out YouTubing?
Started out making videos together.
I think that's just like the core, at its core. Our issue with Optic is that our creators didn't start as creators.
That's,
and it's not...
Bro, that is always our issue.
That is not our... That's just not us at heart. And not that we haven't made really good videos. Not that some of us have been consistent at times. Or we just... We were always just like pro players or...
I mean, if you break it down, the creators in Optic...
Me, Bose...
No. The creators that only... all they've ever done is create. Is like Pam now, myself, and Hector. That's like... I mean, as far as like
Pam,
Optic
you
legacy.
And Hex.
And the Boats has sisters, but they're all the way in LA.
Yeah.
So it's like... Am I missing someone, Raj?
You ain't paying attention.
I don't know if I'm missing. He's being a nerd.
But I mean, even since the beginning, even since before the Botez and
it was still,
Pam left, it was like everyone that's like big timer, Flamesword, Bose, me.
I was the odd man out for sure. I joined to make a documentary about
it. And
you guys.
we all were like, all right, I guess we'll like figure this content shit out.
Yeah.
But like people that are just. Like the Sidemen, they're so big, and it's just like I feel like they really know what they're doing. They're super comfortable with it.
Yeah,
they know their audience, and I feel like I don't know us. Us is just like ex pro players. We're just like we'll kind of make the content work because we're ex pro players. So like here's some gameplay, or like oh the ex pro player does a Q&A. Ex pro player, so it's like interest. It's to us, it was like they're only interested because we were a pro player, and it's like how do pro players think? And we just never really got into that creative side. And I don't know, like there's things I want to do. But, I mean, I would have to look at, like, the Sidemen channel or something and see what kind of videos they even make. There's certain things I want to do, like, especially in the future with, like, fitness and stuff. And I'm prepping for a marathon. And I would like to make some kind of, like, documentary and shit about that. But as far as just, like, pumping out a video every 3 days, it's just, like, I don't even know what I would fucking do.
Do a challenge.
And my brain just, like, doesn't... My brain doesn't work like that. Sometimes I'm just, like, do I... I feel, how many times have I even said this? Like, do I want to be on camera? And it's just like, it feels, I've been doing this for 8 years and it's still fucking weird for me to like sit in front of a camera for like someone pulls a vlog camera out. It's just like, I don't know. Natural. There's a reason why I naturally went into pro gaming and not content creation. But I think maybe there could be a point where not only do we like pick up some big content creators or something and start, maybe it motivates us to dabble into that fucking world.
The thing with picking up content creators for Optic is that people want us to pick up the biggest of the biggest. But like they want us to pick up fucking Doc, Tim. It's Timmy's.
It has to, bro. But like, I feel like it has to be like,
whoever we pick up.
Content creators that live in Dallas.
That's what I'm saying. Whoever we pick up has to live in Dallas. And like, if they don't live in Dallas, they got to move to Dallas. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to pick up fucking Ninja. Like, hey, Ninja, I know you're enjoying your life in Florida, living there. But like, if you're going to join Optic, you got to move to Dallas.
He's like, all right, I'll definitely move to Dallas.
Meanwhile, the same thing that's happened in esports salaries is happening in content creator salaries. I know content creators that are getting paid fucking 20 racks a month to live on the other side of the country and not be in any videos. Yeah. And that's fucking crazy. Yeah. Like Mr. B said it himself. If you have the product is the most important and you can't expand if it is at cost of the product. So his thing is, I make the best YouTube videos. I will always make the best YouTube videos. I can do this other shit as long as it doesn't affect the fact that I make the best YouTube videos. And like, that's kind of how we're trying to be. It's like, we're trying to make YouTube videos in Dallas with all of us together. And so we can't really stray away from that. We have a few exceptions right now, but we can't really do it anymore. Like the exceptions we have are like unique scenarios where it's like the Botes sisters, we merged with Envy. They were with Envy. We really like them. And then like Blake and George, that's a little unique as well. But like, other than that, like if we're getting people, they're going to be in Dallas. So
what's,
who would you pick up?
I think it would be someone I don't know who like just is excited to do it.
It has to be a YouTuber.
But also has like some kind of following.
Dude, it has to
like
be
some young, like a Clicks before he fucking blew the fuck up and became Clicks or something like that.
Yeah. I love streamers and I love that we're all streaming, but nobody does YouTube.
Yeah.
Like we need a fucking YouTuber. But
anyway. YouTube's tough.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the fuck I would even make. Like, a day in the life. Like, there's got to be something.
I mean, I think, like, do you want to make evergreen? The thing is, like, do you want to make shit that people can all, that is evergreen, that they can live on YouTube and consistently get views all the time? Like, our, kind of like in TST, our React videos, they're pretty evergreen. Like, we are noobs and we're reacting to Apex videos. And so people are always going to want to watch that. And it's not like time consistent, but like when Casey Neistat was killing it, like if you watched a vlog, you're not going to rewatch it. You know what I mean? Or like nobody, very few people are probably starting Casey Neistat's vlog series from episode one nowadays.
What I need to get out of my head, I think, is that I look at my channel like, I kind of look at my channel like every video I've ever uploaded to my channel is like pretty solid. Like there's no, the worst will be like game battles 4v4 clutch win with Bo Scump, and like that'll be the worst. But like other than that, like I feel like everything's pretty fucking quality, and I need to like be willing to just do like, I'm gonna do a React video for 2 weeks straight every single day and just like put it up on my channel or something like that. Like react to fucking, I told you the one thing and I still want to do it, don't take my idea, but reacting to everyone in Optic's first video ever that they made. And like that would be, I think, pretty good.
Yeah, for sure. We should definitely,
but it's just like, do I, then I'm gonna start doing that. And then what if I do that However, members there are, say that takes up 2 weeks of like daily uploads or something. And then like, what if the views are bad? And I'm just like thinking about shit like that. I'm like, dude, if I can't be fucking thinking like that. Like, I think it genuinely would just be a good idea. Like the video would be good.
Just to
like,
do
I need to stop thinking like it like clutters, would like clutter my videos or.
Yeah.
Because all my other videos I like sort of took pride in. I mean, they're nothing crazy, but it's like I would genuinely like try to make them funny and blah, blah, blah. And now this would just like me be reacting and it would almost be like setting a new. Just like starting something new. On my YouTube channel, which is like, I don't know, a little scary, I guess.
Oh, it's fucking scary.
But also, it's like, no one gives a fuck.
I'm about to start a whole new channel.
No one gives a fuck about my fucking YouTube channel. So, like, why would I fucking care?
Because you care but then more than everyone else.
Yeah, I care about, like, I click on, I'll see, like, 3K views for a react. And I'm like, dude, I fucking knew it. I shouldn't have done this. But if I think it's a good idea, I should... just do it, and it is a good idea. So maybe you guys will see that series.
I'm nervous about this around the bar thing because I filmed 4 episodes. 5th episode is filming this Saturday, and then it's
you want to say with who?
Then I start up. Well, Hector is this Saturday. That's the only one. That's the only like endemic person I've done. Like as far as like the Optic fan base is concerned.
What the fuck could you talk to Hector about?
We'll figure it out.
I mean, you can talk about anything.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering because you've talked to him so much.
I'm
picking at your brain and wondering if you're like thinking like, okay, they hear us talk so much together. If, what is something
I'll probably
they
talk
would
about,
not hear about?
I think I'm going to talk.
Or no.
I'm going to talk about a lot of his like CEO like responsibilities and like the difference between being owner and not CEO and owner and CEO. Cause when we first merged, we had a CEO, then, you know, that CEO went somewhere else and now Hector's CEO. And so like, what's the difference there? What's it like talking to the board? How do you like, is it ever nerve wracking, even though you're the owner of Optic to like all, a bunch of like probably business stuff, especially in the heat of like what's been going on in esports right now. But
yeah. You say you're nervous about it?
I'm nervous about the channel, not about the...
Are you making a new channel
for
your...
channel? Yeah, an entire new channel. And I thought about it a lot just because if I... Depending on how this vegan video goes on my personal channel, like I don't want... I'm really passionate about Around the Bar. So like I know I'm not going to hold... I'm not going to ease up on it. But like... If the vegan video doesn't do well, I don't want the Hitch a Ride video, the Hitch a Ride channel to just be Around the Bar. Like I just want Around the Bar to be Around the Bar, you know? So, but, and I'm also nervous because I think I'm the first person in Optic to do a podcast, not like in it's talking about Call of Duty or like Halo or with Optic people.
Yeah.
Like the first episode's Mango. And it's like, I hope. It's crazy, not on my channel, so luckily, like, hopefully it hits, like, their fan bases, you know? Like, the Mango episode, and then the Mike P episode, and the Mystic episode, like, those are all different fan, very different fan bases, but, like, you know, I watch a lot of hot
makes
ones.
Makes you scared, like, God, is anyone that fucks with me gonna even wanna...
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean... You know, they're biased, but having Matt there and having like Austin Cox there, like making the drinks, like they didn't know who Mango was. They didn't know who Mystic was. And they were like, dude, that, well, Matt said the Mystic episode is like one of the most entertaining ones. He's like podcast he's been a part of. So but Matt also loves YouTube and Mystic is like obsessed with YouTube. Like we were talking about YouTube the whole time. So I don't know. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to tackle it like social media wise. Like I've got a shorts editor and a clips editor and
yeah.
So
oh shit. Nah, it'll go well.
Yeah.
Maybe like I know there's I don't know if it probably doesn't work the same for YouTube, but I know TikTok, if you make a brand new account and put up like a few videos, it like pushes it out for like your For You page. I don't know if YouTube is
shit,
like that.
I'm glad you said that. I should put out instead of putting out like the Paige and Roger ones that I've already edited, I should put out the Mango ones first then, and then do the Paige and Roger ones after.
On what, like TikTok?
Yeah, on TikTok.
You're going to do TikTok, YouTube reels?
Everything. YouTube shorts, and then YouTube shorts and the episodes are going to be on the same channel. Then I've got a clips channel where like it's long form clips, and then I'm going to put the short TikToks on TikTok, and then the Instagram reels on my personal Instagram. So yeah, well, I'm fucking nervous.
Yeah,
the shout out center, they're sponsoring it.
Nah, you're killing it, and you're going to be killing it.
I hope so.
Like, it makes me, I feel I like just started streaming again like 3 weeks ago, and that just hearing all that makes me be like, just like, God, I need to fucking.
I've completely stopped running. Like, but that's just because I haven't had time to.
Yeah.
So like, it's not. I have proven nothing yet with around the bar. In fact, I am nothing but like $7,500 in debt right now. So. So hopefully we can even that up.
Yeah, I've been on speaking of you killing it, you threw an insane off-season TST event, a rock and roll punk themed, and did it turn out,
dude, it was as fucking good crazy as you hoped? Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things to, so last year we did it and it was just kind of a crazy idea, and like it was fun, but it was nerve-wracking because like not a lot of people went, and it was like not a lot of people really understood what it was. It was like, okay, so there's an invitational for COD, but there's also a Melee open, but there's also like this, that, and the other that's happening. Like, why are we opening Pokemon cards here? And then there's a Black Ops 2 map after this, and then after that there's like people are playing soccer. Like, it's just like a weird idea. Yeah. So like people didn't know what it was, but people understood what it was, you know, after watching it. So we announced it this year, and I was really excited about the announcement. We did a whole photo shoot or video shoot and stuff, and then the ticket sales went online, and the ticket sales did not start well. It was really? Like the ticket sales went online. VIP sold out immediately, which VIP was like 70 tickets. So VIP sold out immediately, and then like 9 tickets sold. So 79 people. And and we were getting like 1 ticket sale a day for like 3 weeks. So like
you were scared.
And I was like, oh my God, no one's coming again. Like,
no one come last year?
Like
are you just talking like the crowd and people hanging
crowd
out?
Yeah. So the crowd, so in Melee, we had 120 entrants in Melee, which is like not bad, but like majors get like 900 entrants, and it's way less money. And they're playing for like $7,000 in majors, and mine was like $25,000, or they're playing for $10,000 for first. So I couldn't like understand it, but apparently a bunch of people in Melee have been burned a lot of times. Like people, brand new person comes in and they're like, here's a lot of money, and then they don't pay out. Mm-hmm. So like everyone's kind of hesitant. So I was like, maybe if I just prove myself this time, they'll come next year. Then not a lot of people were signing up for Melee either. It was like, I don't know, like 40 entrants or something like that. So I was like, oh my God. And that was like 2 months out. So I remember I made the decision at that time. If you've been following me on Twitter the last 2 months, I am sorry. I apologize. Cause I made the decision at that moment. Like, there's no shame in my game right now. Every other tweet's going to be about the off season. Yeah. And I'm done with that. So you got me for 11 more months.
Until, I think it worked though.
I must have.
Yeah.
So we ordered the passes, the general admission passes, and we ordered the merch when it was 2 months out. So we ordered it for at most 250 people, 300 people that were going to be in the venue. Cause like that would be double of what it was last year.
Yeah.
And then over the 2 weeks leading up to the event, it just.
Yeah, I ain't buying shit till the last minute.
Dude, it turned a crazy. We sold out of general admission passes, all 400 passes. We had a space to get them in the venue. We just didn't have the passes. So like we just didn't order enough passes, and we didn't order enough merch. The merch was gone. And I asked our merch guy like, hey, can I get a
like a beanie. He was like, dude, you're asking for so much stuff. And I was like, he was like, we ordered this like when there were only 60 tickets sold. So we ordered probably a fifth of what we should have ordered, a fourth of what we should have ordered. So that was gone immediately.
Like just online, right? No, yeah, or are you talking at the venue?
At the venue. So they ordered it for sale at the venue. So there was just, I mean, I don't know if we're going to reprint it or anything, but I mean, it was a massive, I think I said this in the Flycast last year, the off season last year, even with all the sponsorships and everything, I think we ended up going negative like $7,000 or something like that, which is not horrible. You want to make money. This year was positive by a lot. I found out the number yesterday, and I would be transparent if I could be, but it's a good amount. And which I'm happy for, because I feel like I was very, that was the last thing that like really surprised me. And I was very, very excited about that, because hopefully that means we can do it again next year. Like hopefully it's a resounding yes that we can do it again next year. Yeah. 'Cause not only did we raise money for charity, all the players got paid, like the top 16 for Melee, and they don't have a lot of money in their scene. They all got paid a lot of money. Like, especially if you get first place, that's $10,000, which is like unheard of in Melee. And then all the COD players got paid. And then,
what was first for COD?
I think it was like 3,700 a player or something like that. There, maybe it's just $3,000, something like that. And then last place, if you just show up to the event, you got like, I think it was like $300 or $350. Maybe it's $500. It might even be $500.
Give Killer $500. Well, give Killa, my man Bo's Killa, five.
Did Killa come in last? Oh, he did. He didn't come in last. Yeah. So he gets $500. So yeah, so the players get paid. The spectators have a pretty good time, because there was a lot of shit going on this year. The Guitar Hero was there. The Smash 64 was there. We had some fun events. But then also, like, we raise a shit ton of money for charity, and the company makes money. So it's literally a win for everyone.
That's a fucking dub.
There's a dub for everyone.
Yeah.
And so I was very, very, very excited about that. I'm glad that people are starting. I think after this year, people really understand what off-season is. It's a bunch of shit happening at one time.
And you raised,
dude, like $215,000 or something like that.
It's fucking insane.
Crazy.
I saw you on. Were you feeling like emotional about it?
Yeah. What? Yeah. of course.
I assume so, but I saw that and I was like, oh my God, hitch my cry. I was like, cry, yeah. Motherfucker, cry.
Everybody, they put my mom and Alexis beside me because they thought I was going to cry. So like they made sure they were beside me. If my mom wasn't in a mohawk, I might have cried. But I can't be crying with my mom in a mohawk beside me.
I walked in. Yeah, right. Just throw shit off. I walked in and like, okay, so people, Maniac, why didn't you go to the event? I pull up to the event. My BRIO card's at like 9. I probably got there at like 7:30. And I'm like chilling in the back with some of the pro players and stuff. Like Zinni was back there. Hilton was back there. Some of our production. And I already like didn't feel, the day before I didn't really feel well, but I was like, yeah, whatever. Something like I probably ate like shit and like I just don't. And then that day I streamed, and during my stream I felt like, I was like, dude, I could almost like have a fever right now. Like I just don't feel good. I mean, like the rage doesn't help. But is in like the staring at a monitor wasn't helping, but like I felt okay. But towards the end, I was like, I kind of got a, like, I feel like I'm getting a fever. Like, I'm gonna just get off. So I got off, went home, took a nap, woke up from my nap feeling terrible, which is what happens anyway. Anytime I've ever taken a nap, I never wake up like, oh, I'm ready to go now. Like, I woke up from my nap, felt terrible. And I text Paige, I was like, hey, I might not show up. Like, I just feel really bad. I don't know what it is. I told her, I think, like, it's almost that feeling you get, because I had COVID twice. And I know that feeling of, like, I think I might have COVID.
It is a different feeling from being regularly sick.
It's like a different
sick.
Type of, yeah. It's not like you're, like, snotty and shit.
It's like
you're
an just airy, like, it's like a head, some, head you just, cold yeah. type thing, yeah.
And I just felt like that. And I was like, I might not show up, like, we have a COVID test here and I might take one, but like, I just feel off, but I really do want to come. Like Hitch doing this thing, like, especially what it stands for, like, and me being the face of mental health, I was like, this is my time to shine. Yeah. Like I have to pull up.
It's my time to chug a beer and play beer.
I have to show up to this event. Plus, it's not like I have to do anything fucking crazy. I just go play, drink beer, play Mario Kart.
Yeah.
But I was like, God, there's no way I should drink though. And text page, I was like, hey, I'm gonna come, but I don't feel good, but yeah, I'm still gonna come. So I get there, I'm hanging out in the back, and then I'm talking to some people. They say something. I was like, yeah, I don't really feel good. I think it was the hyper dude from the UK. What's his fucking name?
Warren.
Yeah. He came up to me and he was like, so talking all funny. Like this. He was like, what are you, hungover? And I was like, no, I'm not fucking hungover. I just don't feel good. Like, so they could just kind of tell.
That's so funny.
And then I'm talking to like James and he's saying that JP is super sick. And then Joey just got tested positive for COVID. I was like, dude. And right when I heard that, I was like, fuck, dude. I was like, I might have COVID. I was like, this is like not, I should not be here. And Zinni's like, dude, why are you here if you're sick? Just like calling me out. I'm like, dude, should I fucking leave? Like, I'm down to do this, but I genuinely don't feel good. And this literally could be the start of COVID. Like, this could be the night where it's like, okay. But then I like drink some beers, go home, wake up. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm sick. And I did not want that to happen.
Yeah.
So I made the executive decision. I was just like, I'm just going to go. Like, I can't walk around here thinking like I might have COVID
especially
or something.
Because like, fans are going to try to meet you and all that.
Yeah. And I'm going to be meeting fans. Like,
yeah.
Holly texted me and was like, you were sick. Who were you around? And I was just like, I was the only person I was even near was like James.
Yeah.
But she was like, yeah, because the baby. And I was like, I know. I understand. Like, this is why I left. Like, just to make things easier. But I wanted to definitely be in the event. But yeah, that is why I did not show up. I wish I would have.
You did show up. You just left.
Yes, I did show up.
You showed up and then you came up to me and you said, Hitch, I might leave.
I had my phone in my hand texting you.
Really?
Like that I was going to leave. And then I saw you. And I was like, yo, I think I'm going to leave. Like, I just do not feel
well. You're good, man. You're good.
But I am
glad.
But
you did set me up for fucking failure. Because I filled in for you, and I suck at chugging beers. They did a slow-mo.
Weren't you in first by like a lot?
By a lot, and then I came in last.
Shit would happen. Like it looked hard.
It's
like it
so
looked hard.
Hard
to play.
64 is impossible.
Not
bro.
That you're like hammered and shit, but it looked like dude, you would just spin out, and then you'd be on like just on a wall, and you couldn't
you
would
figure
start
out
driving
to,
backwards,
dude.
and
I'm bad at, so I'm drinking the beer, and I'm like can't get it down, and then so I had to do this and swallow, and when I do that, for some reason in the other hand I swirl the beer, and they made dude because Blake and George were on the couch, and they love their favorite thing to do in the world is roast me. And then Slime and Nick, I don't know if you're familiar, but they're from the yard, and they, that's what they do too, is they just roast each other. And then so they just blast me. I go back on the couch and they were like, damn, why did you do like a wine tasting swirl of your beer? And I was like, I couldn't get it down, and I don't know why I swirled it. And then I come in I'm in first place. I haven't finished my beer yet. I'm about to finish the race, so I have to stop. So I stop at the finish line to finish my beer, and as I'm finishing my beer, the rest of them pass me, and I come in fourth.
No way.
Out of four, and it was horrendous.
Was it only four people in the whole and doing the whole thing?
It was eight. So the top two from each race move on and play finals.
Who won the whole thing?
Lucky. He's a melee player.
Okay. What'd Pam get? He make finals?
Pam did not make finals.
Damn. Man. Mario Kart was my fucking game, too. I walked into the venue, and I see girls with, like, the old school punk look.
Yeah.
Their thong up to, like, their
sides. Oh, my
sides,
God. Yeah, I forgot
like,
they
what?
Were there.
That
yeah,
is
yeah.
the first thing I saw when I fucking walked in that shit.
You know what theme we're going for next year? I can tell the Flycast viewers.
What is it?
90s hip hop.
Yes.
That's what we're going for.
I wonder if the gaming scene will appreciate that, though. You know, Hex will literally show up just because of that.
Hex and Omens are going to be hype as fuck.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
Yeah. So I already have, I mean, thinking of ideas of side events and things to do in the venue. Because what I want TSC to feel like is a convention, something where you can play something over here, you can watch something over here. Yeah. If you get tired of watching here, you can watch something else over here. Like, people were bouncing around watching Guitar Hero, Smash, COD, then they would play, ping pong, they would play, you know, there's a bunch of shit going on.
Dude, it's crazy. That's just crazy to me. You put that together. Like, I know you have a team that, like, helps.
Yeah, but I mean, this is literally impossible to do without Corey and Atlas. Like,
it's still just fucking insane how, like, this thought you have in your brain literally comes to life in this venue. It's
insane.
It's just, like, really dope to see.
Some stuff is happening behind the scenes where, like, some issues are coming up and off season might have been affected by it. It still might be, but. So I was kind of having brief conversations with some people here, like on the corporate side. They said, well, if next year, if something happens next year, would you be willing to do it online? And I was like, you've given me a taste of throwing an event.
What could you even do, though?
Like, because we did a ton of online events before trying to do it in person. And doing it in person is, dude, it's so much
more.
Where
you make people play, like, S&D with throwing knives and shit?
No, just, like, throwback tournaments that we raise money. During COVID in 2020, we did a thing where we threw four different tournaments every Wednesday for a month. And at the end of the month, we ended up raising, that was the year we raised $69,420. Fucking money.
No, you got to keep these in person.
Yeah,
fucking
but
crazy.
Dude, in person is so rewarding. And like, seeing the people have fun playing the games and it's lighthearted but still competitive. That's my favorite part. Is, like, you know how, like, in COD, I kind of make the pro players do something a little bit weird. They take a tequila shot before they play, or they play on a map that used to be banned,
right.
Or it was banned, but it's not. But I unban it for a day. I make the melee guys do the same thing, and they've been playing the same game for 20 years and nobody does that to them. Like, they play hardcore, same maps, same characters. And then here I comes, like,
do you think they're low key talking shit? Like, God, this stupid fucking rule set. I know I wouldn't have lost to this dog shit. He needed that money.
Yes,
like, this motherfucker needed that money.
For sure,
lost this trash ass.
That for sure happens.
Like, what was it? Just maps?
So there's two stages that are normally banned that I unbanned if we hit a certain milestone, and we hit the milestone on Saturday. So I was like, oh shit. So the top 64 of the tournament, it was unbanned. But I also made sure it's competitive. So I added two stages to the rule set, and I gave the players two bans. So if they wanted to just ban the two, they could. But they ended up not doing it, and a lot of people played, like, the actual goofy stages, and it was a lot of fun.
And then you got the COD kids complaining about input delay. Now, I wonder, I don't know if you heard, but, I mean, Bose dropped two gooses, so it has to be input delay or something.
It has to be. I didn't know that. I didn't see
it. Well, that's what Zuma was saying. I was like, does it... Or I forget how we started the convo, but he was like, yeah, man, there's fucking input delay. And I was like, is it input? Like, I'm sure it feels shitty, but I'm like, does it feel shitty because we're so spoiled with how our games feel now?
The only reason
is it, like, something with how y'all have it set up?
The only reason there would be input delay is because of the devices that we use on the 360s to let them use their PS4 controllers. But we've tested it. It's a fighting game thing. So, like, fighting game is way more frame-based than FPSs are. And it's supposed to be instantaneous. If anything, it's half a millisecond.
I think we forget how shitty it
felt. I think people just forget.
And that's why, like, back in the day, you would see someone hit a no-scope and you're like, oh.
Right.
Because it was like, you just didn't see that because it's hard to fucking do.
Imagine, I've wanted in the offseason, for an offseason eventually in life, I'm either going to throw a Halo 2 or a Halo 3. It's going to be a part of it.
I want to see.
And Halo 3 is 30 FPS, isn't it?
Think so.
30 is crazy.
Yeah.
Melee came out in 2001 and it's 60 frames.
Really?
Melee 60 frames, COD 60 frames. Though. One of them, it might be Halo 2. One of them's only 30 frames.
Halo 2 probably. Because original Halo 2 felt pretty bad. But
And that's on the original Xbox, isn't it?
And you just don't think of it, though, until you touch it again. But we are spoiled with how games feel. And I kind of fucking hate it. Because, like, I remember in Halo 3, like, aiming was pretty hard. And, like, you had to, like, lead your shots. And I always felt like my shot was, like, one of the best. Like, I always just had, a really smooth shot. And it was shooting was never an issue in like any game I played, but then like Halo like 5 comes around, and I'm like, dude, I can't aim. But somehow like everyone else, it was so hard to aim, but there was like input delay, and I don't know, it just felt like fucking shit. And now in Halo Infinite, it feels so much easier to aim. See, I want to say it's so easy to aim, but then I keep thinking back to my gameplay, and I'm like, is it fucking easy to aim? But it's just back then playing on 30 FPS, and now everything's 240 FPS. Or
no, the guys, especially the guys that didn't play last year.
It's way easier.
Like the attaches and Zuma especially, they just forget how shit it is. Yeah. Like it's there. I don't think it was an input delay thing because the monitors we use are great and the little adapter that we use is really good, but dude, Damon dropped to 49. Like Seth had a 1.3 the whole weekend. Like
Damon dropped 49 kills.
Yeah, he was one away from a 50 bomb. You know that if anybody was gonna complain about the delay, Seth would be the first person to complain about it. But Seth played last year, so he remembers
and
how
Seth's
shit.
Seth's also a freak though. Like he'll play good on. He hopped on Valorant and played with us, and he was just like, "I haven't played in a year." And then he hopped on, and he's just ding, ding, ding. I'm just like, dude, and I like, pull up his stream, and he's just
cracked,
just slouch forward, trying so hard. Like, dude, he's just a pure gamer. Like when he gets in that game, like. He might not show it. He might be reading chat, but like he wants to be on the top of the leaderboard. When 100%. Him and Zinni are playing X Defiant, just pubs, like he's not trying to let Zinni outkill him.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
It's just in his fucking blood to do good.
Dude, he's sitting back. He's been sitting backstage, and I go back there to eat, and he's got a football game on his phone, and I'm eating, and he goes, so like, what time are finals happening? Because he's already in grand finals. And I was like, oh, it's like, you know, at this time or whatever. He was like, oh, so we're probably going to play. It's like, yeah, you guys are probably going to play Pat's team. He was like, dude, they're taking this so serious. And I was like, you're in finals with a 1.34 KD. You're taking it.
I will admit, you're the one taking it serious. I saw them play. I think it was Zinni's team. And this was like after Zinni tweeted. This was the series Zinni tweeted like, "Holy stacked fucking teams for a charity event."
Yeah.
But I watched that series and Seth's team like kind of. It seemed like they were having fun. Like they weren't. Like they were.
Oh, yeah.
They're scump sniping and they didn't seem like they were just. Like it seemed like they were treating it like a charity event and like fun. But you know, at the back of fucking Seth's head, he's not. He's trying to fucking lose. I mean, all of them are sitting there trying to win.
They're all trying to win.
They're all those type of people that are trying to win.
Those are like my soft spots for events that I like to throw. Is I like to make them fun, but not too goofy where it's not competitive. Where people are just like, oh yeah, let's run around with throwing knives or whatnot. Or in Smash, like let's play pokey floats with items on and throw pokeballs at the ground or get the hammer.
Exactly.
Like, no, I don't want all that. Like I want people to actually, they're playing for 25 racks. Like, but let's throw a few variables at them and see who can adapt and how fun.
Didn't Shotzi and Pred never play that game?
Shotzi didn't have that amazing of a tournament.
Really?
Yeah, he went even. But how do you not go even when Damon's dropping 50 and Seth's like out of 1.3 and Pred played really well?
But did Shotzi say he'd never played before?
Yeah, he had never played that game.
The
last time he had played it was last year.
I don't know if I believe him, bro. It's fucking Shotzi. Like,
yeah, true.
He'll
Who
say
knows?
Some crazy shit. Because to go against Krim, Pat, Who else was on the team?
John and Clayster.
John and Clayster. Crim Pat, John and Clayster. That's a fucking Black Ops 2 squad. That's like, I feel like.
That's the Dynasty team. That's like the Complexity Dynasty, but John instead of TP.
Like, to, I don't know. TP's got to play next year. I just can't imagine playing against, never playing that game and then playing against people who would have been winning tournaments in that game and like still doing well. And it's funny, Shotzi still had like movement and shit.
Oh, he was still doing his thing. Yeah,
he was doing his thing. And then did Pred play before?
He had to. Well, the thing is a lot of those maps are Cold War maps. So they knew all the spawns and shit because they played them in Cold War. They played Express S&D. They played, you know, Raid Hardpoint. They played Slums. Like all that. All they're all in Cold War. So they were used to those. So I'm sure they did a lot better on those maps than the random ones, but yeah, it was, I mean, it was a massive success. You know, Pringles, came through, they sponsored the Call of Duty event or the Call of Duty tournament. And they also dropped a lot of money, ton of money for charity. So
shouts out Pringles, man. Know. I mean, if you guys like, we got this podcast every week. If you could always use some snacks. I need some snacks right now because I just ran a time I didn't think I would ever run.
Ever?
And then I haven't ate besides this smoothie. Bro, let me check my pace. This morning I woke up 4:50 a.m. That's I'm like, insane. Do I go back to sleep or do I carry the logs? And I'm like, let me get the fuck up. Let me just get this run over with.
Yeah.
I did a half mile warm up and then I did 3 miles at a 7:26 pace. When I tell you I was fucking trying, like my note or not note, just my caption on my Strava app is fuck out of my face in all caps. You know how much like dopamine was going through my brain for that to be my caption?
Fuck out of my
after
face.
My run.
7:20 pace, right?
7:26 pace.
That's
3 mile run.
That is crazy.
Only like usually I'm running 9:40. I think my typical mile, like when I do, like I have 6 miles on Sunday and my pace will probably be like 9:47 or something.
Yeah.
So to just try as hard as I did today, it really took a lot out of me. And like, I honestly don't even feel good. Like I wanted to go home, go back to sleep, but I was like, fuck it. Let me just go to the office. I'll stream for a little bit, get some food, do the Flycast. And then I think I'm playing CS with Skump, but I've been running 5 days a week. Foam rolling, stretching, lifting weights on top of it. My diet hasn't been the absolute best, but like, I don't know, man. I'm starting to like fall in love with running again because I looked at my notes in August. I ran twice, and I think July maybe just a few times.
Dude, it was so hot.
And then not until the end of or like mid September did I start running again.
On Monday, I'm going to Arizona. Staying there for like a month. I'll visit here like once for a few days.
Yeah, gotta let them know. You're disappearing.
Yeah.
Hitch quit.
Nope, didn't quit. Just going to Arizona.
Hitch is going to Arizona for a month, so you're going to see me. I don't know. I'll pull something out of my ass, I guess.
I'd like to see that.
It could be one-on-one sit-downs. I'm going to have to figure out some guests. Could it just be regular one-on-ones like this? Or
just
I kind of want to try to find something fun to do or something.
Just substitute me in for Ace. Or Ace in for me. And then you can have guests.
Maybe I get Hex the co-host or something. And then have more guests or something.
Yeah. But regardless, I think when I go to Arizona, I'm definitely going to start running again because I'll actually be finally settled.
I get high every time I run now.
Do you?
Like, it's like, I'm like...
Runner's high?
It's not something I would say like everyone should do, but it's like there's something about it.
Oh, I can't wait to get back. I really can't wait to get back.
It feels like really good to like now be in the swing. This was just my last run of week 3 on my program where I'm running 5 days a week. And then next week, I think we're going to keep the same mileage, but prepping for a half marathon at the end of the year. And it, like, I've said this before, man, like sometimes, and you hear me talk about it, like with YouTube and creation and shit like that, and it's just like, I just don't know if that's in my heart, or like, I don't know what do I want to do, where does my life go, like hear me talk about like that shit like that. But just having something like a run or like buying some sort of running program, or knowing someone that's a runner and like them helping you out, looking at my like schedule for the week of my runs just gives me like something to be proud of.
Yeah.
For that scheduled run on Sunday for 6 miles, and I know I can just do it as slow as I want. But once that 6 miles is complete, and I even like gave a little more effort at the end, like I just feel fucking good. Like it, even if the rest of, even if I'm arguing with my girl, even if Hex sent me a text, pissed me off, even if fucking I'm stuck with content creation or streams going bad, it's like I still got that fucking run in. No matter what happened today, it was, I still got a W for the day. And it's just, I'm telling you, it's a cheat code. Try it out. We've said it time and time again. I had someone on my stream tell me literally this morning that he's been running because of me and Hitch and the Flycast. And so, yeah, I just appreciate all the feedback I hear. And this isn't just a platform for us to just talk about trans people not being in Halo tournaments and like random stuff like that. Like, we really, I think we know some things sometimes, and we want others to feel inspired listening to this sometimes. At least that's my goal with some of my content is, I don't know, just slowly figuring this life shit out. And yeah. I do appreciate the feedback that I hear, and I hope you guys do get something out of it. Because I'm back on my shit, and I've been eating healthier, and it feels good.
And it feels good. Speaking of eating healthier, I have to go eat.
I need to go eat.
Because I have to go get all the couches from ESA, so I gots to go.
What are you going to go eat? Vegan?
Chipotle.
Okay.
Again, for the ninth time this week.
All right.
Sorry, I'm leaving you for a few episodes, Flycast
but
viewers.
But you'll be back in a month.
But whenever I come back and visit, we'll probably shoot a Flycast then. So it's really only 2 weeks for you guys, and then you get to see a little bit of us. Also, we hit a milestone during the off season that a Flycast sexy calendar is going to be coming to.
Yeah,
we
got to figure this. I need to know what's
a doorstep near you.
We'll
a lot
see.
Of whipped
this
cream.
This is going to be people's profile pics. A
lot of melted butter.
We'll see.
We'll have Nick pop out of a birthday cake.
Something. But thank you all for watching.
We'll see you in the next one.
Hitch will be back in a month. Matt Craig, play that outro music.